proudly present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a product listing from the Amazon website read by Charlotte Green.
The Holy Bible, English Standard Version, with cross-references.
And our thanks to Ivan Griffin for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Lloyd Langford. And opposite them on my left, Justin Edwards and Susan Kalman. Jeremy, listen to this.
My youth. I had the figure of a young girl in those days.
Jeremy, who hadn't budgeted for a defeat?
This would be Her Majesty's government, still led by a thread by David Cameron, and his backbenchers joined with Labour to humiliate him in the run-up to his negotiations with Europe. But they said that by voting for a cut in the EU budget, that they were giving him a mandate, which is true in the sense that a wedgie provides much-needed perineal support. So he's going to go there to Europe to argue with Merkel and say, I've got a mandate. And she says, oh, your backbenchers think you are a fool, David. You have been humiliated. I can see your pants. That's how she talks. That's how she talks. She's German. And they're all going to laugh and mock at him, and he'll cry and come away and wish he'd never left Cheltenham Ladies' College.
Why are we sending an extremely rich old Etonian to haggle on our behalf? Do you not think we should have a Cockney market trader to get in there? That'd be much better.
Yeah, because he's never had to work for anything in his life. He's never had to negotiate. Oh, I'll just have the most expensive one. Could you wrap it and bring it to my house? Well, no, you can't literally wrap a house and bring it to my house, but could you wrap me and bring me to the house? One of his backbenchers actually said about the rebellion, he said that we can't be giving all this money to Europe when there are people worrying about putting shoes on their children's feet. And I thought, oh, like you care about that. And then I thought, well, actually, he probably owns a huge shoe empire. No, I mean, really, him and Osborne should just pay the whole EU budget out of their trust funds. And he's complaining that Labour were guilty of transparent opportunism, which is true, but in the same way that if you saw Cameron sort of drunk on the floor at a party, you'd pull his trousers and pants down and photograph him. Yes, it would be cynical opportunism, but sort of irresistible in a way.
Well, Tony Blair was very cross. He warned the Labour Party not to play short-term politics over the issue. Although, to be fair to Ed Miliband, he'll be gone in a couple of years. Do you not think? Do you not see him in a couple of years as a maths teacher in Milton Keynes? But it's hard to know where you are with the politics, because effectively Ed Miliband was asking his MPs to vote to the right of the Conservative Party. So you wonder what the next coalition is going to be. It's going to be Labour and the BNP. I mean, it depends where you are, really.
Well, if it's the two biggest parties in Parliament, it'd be Labour and the Tories, wouldn't it? The Liberals can be the little weird far-left party in the background.
I quite like the idea of the Liberals going back to just wearing sandals and going, it's nothing to do with us. I think that's rather endearing.
As opposed to wearing suits and saying it's nothing to do with us.
Yeah, that's Lloyd, I don't know what your politics are at all. Are you interested in these kind of things?
Yeah, I was reading up about how we essentially pay in more to the European Union than we get back. So it's sort of like a lottery syndicate. And I think Greece is a bloke who never remembers to bring along his wallet.
But the debate's going to be on the budget. It's going to be in Brussels. Why don't they just save money and do the whole thing on Skype instead of on the fly? Him and Angela.
Copy each other into emails, but you can get into trouble doing that, can't you? You click on reply all. You say things like, I've never fancied Angela Merkel.
No one would say that, though, Jeremy. She's a very attractive older lady.
Yeah.
She is. She's got that certain something about her, that older lady, I'll tell you what to do and it'll probably hurt, but I'll do it anyway. I've said too much. Yeah. I've said too much.
I feel, like Susan, we're straying into territory that's possibly not political. David Cameron was left embarrassed just before the negotiations on the EU budget after Labour MPs joined Tory rebels to pass an amendment calling for Britain's contribution to be cut. It's Cameron's biggest defeat in the Commons since old Etonians lost to old Harrovians in a game of corridor cricket. David Cameron denied the division over Europe signalled a return to the major years, but has asked security to look out for Edwina Curry sneaking into number 10 just in case. 2 points to Jeremy. Lloyd, why might my namesake have blown democracy off course?
This is Hurricane Sandy and its effect on the US presidential race. It's not really a great subject for comedy. I'll try. I was amused by the fact that they evacuated everyone from Atlantic City. I was thinking they clearly weren't that interested in gambling.
That's a fair point, actually. Yes. It would have been.
Never mind red or black, let's raise the stakes somewhat. Do you think this casino will still be here tomorrow?
If I saw that wind coming towards me, I think I'd have evacuated already.
I liked all the sort of weather discussion about this. It was, technically speaking, a tropical cyclone, which coincidentally is my Mexican wrestling name. Do you know, the storm could cost up to $50 billion, which coincidentally is Mitt Romney's annual income before tax. And indeed, after tax.
Romney he's kind of blown it, because people kind of think, well, we should stick with the president, because all he has to do now is carry on being presidential. Because Mitt Romney's doing weird things, like asking people to send groceries. And the Red Cross is saying, please don't send groceries. It's not the harvest festival. Do you remember when we were kids? And like, because it was the harvest, we had to bring in tins of pilchards for the old people. And then they'd all be taken to the old people's home. And of course, they couldn't open them because they didn't have the easy open tins in those days. You had to have one of those little machetes that old people can't use because they've got arthritis. And it's a bit like that with Mitt Romney. It's like a terrible wind has devastated people's houses and they've got no power and there's lots of flooding. Send some packs of Cheetos.
He's sending them tinned fish and they have actual live fish in their houses.
But Romney went out of his way not to criticise Obama, although I have to say he couldn't resist pointing out that the hurricane wasn't born in the United States. That was
the thing is, about whatever Romney says, he just has a face that can't be sincere. Yeah. It's like he always smiles. He always has this slightly odd smile. So even when he's saying, please give generously, it's a really, really tragic thing. It's like a sinister face that he has, whereas Obama's brilliantly looking concerned. I think it's the movable eyebrow situation. I don't know if Romney's had Botox, but nothing moves above the eyebrows. Whereas Obama, he's very fluid. He's up and down. He's like a cartoon that's drawn on. So Obama always looks really quite sincere. The main thing about Hurricane Sandy, though, I have to say, is I've never seen so many Sandy Toksvig jokes in my entire life. The blessing was when the American preacher then blamed it on gay people wanting to get married. Did you see that one? It was all tied in conveniently, because I don't know if you know, but you are one. And it was a godsend.
I must tell my wife.
It was a godsend. Essentially, they were making you into an X-Men superhero, Storm. Essentially, that's an action figure I would buy for Christmas.
The only headline, well, not the only headline I saw about it, but one that caught my eye, and I was half paying attention because I was probably watching something else, where it said, Sandy Bears Down on Coast. And I thought, well, that's nice. Maybe it's a picnic. I'll take the children along.
At the moment, they have a very specific system of naming hurricanes. Hmm. And I think it would be more useful to name weather fronts after people we're aware of, so we can kind of gauge...
Hurricane Savile?
Yeah, well, you would know that Hurricane Savile happened maybe 40 years after it had struck. for example, I was thinking maybe Hurricane Boris. So it's a lot of blustering, but pretty much everything remains the same.
Hurricane Sandy, or Superstorm Sandy, hit the eastern seaboard this week, causing devastation. Those poor Americans first mitt now this. Sandy has caused tens of billions of dollars of damage. one of my school reports. After devastating New York, the hurricane cheered up Americans everywhere by advancing on Canada. 2 points to Lloyd. Justin, who isn't feeling the benefit of being in the middle?
This will be the super squeeze middle classes and the removal or the stopping for certain people of child benefit. The letters go out today. And if you earn over £50,000, you'll have your child benefit stopped. You could both earn just under £50,000 and you'd be fine. But if one of you earned over, you know, £50,001 and the other one didn't earn anything, you'd have it stopped. It's unnecessarily complicated. If you've fannied around enough with your money, and then you could claim the £21 a week that you get. It just seems to be something the coalition policies dictate, is that sort of poor people go, oh, you know, I can't be bothered, I've got time to mess around with this. Then the slightly richer people have slightly better accountants. Well, I'm going to find a way to do this now. It just becomes sort of a challenge. And the only people making money are the accountants, who will then be ineligible for child benefit themselves. And then we have to sort of go back and start trying to find another loophole or a way of doing it. It does seem...
I think you've just demonstrated why people don't get naked during Moneybox Live.
Yeah. I think that I do, Jeremy.
How many kids have you got?
I've got two.
Too young to work?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I've tried getting them to do things, like sort of fetch that nappy. But again, that's... occasionally they do, but not enough to really bring in the rent, no.
Last time I had the chimney swept, it cost 50 quid. I mean, a couple of chimneys a day, you'd be laughing.
When do they stop giving child benefit?
When you're 18.
Yeah, when you're not a child, that's the clue.
But my daughter's 22 and they never stop costing you money, do they? Dad, I've burnt down someone's house. Can you help? Yes, it's fine. Don't worry. So long as you're okay. That becomes the response to every phone call. Once your child is sort of over 16, every phone call is you saying, don't worry, so long as you're okay, I will pay off the witnesses. It will be fine. Don't worry, she was old anyway. It's fine.
I liked all the language. I liked them talking about the middle classes being up in arms. And you think, oh, very nice arms they are from John Lewis. They don't actually stop paying you the benefit. You get the benefit still. They just claw it back through the tax system. So you should do what I did. I've had my children registered as an offshore company. that's the best way forward.
I think I should... I'm just putting this out there. I think I should get rewards for not having children. I think I'm the forgotten victim. All of this. I should be carried on a golden chariot throughout the streets and everyone goes, thank you for not having children. And I go, you're very welcome.
That's certainly an option. Well, if it was a genuine child benefit, to be honest with you, a real child benefit to me would be if someone came around my house and took all the Lego out of my shoes. Because that is that kind of thing. Or came and said, how do you get banana off a wall when it's sort of baked on? That would be worth, you know, a lot more.
I agree with Susan. I think there should be
She should be carried around on a golden...
Yes, possibly with my cats in front pulling the chariot. And no, I should have a sash
don't
or
encourage
something.
Her, please.
And a crown made out of daisies.
All I can say is if you do go through Glasgow in that kind of get-up, being pulled on by cats, people will be going, God, I hope she doesn't breed. So in a way, your wish will have come true.
There should be some sort of bursary that gets paid into, and then, for instance, when childless people like Susan and I have to get on a long-haul flight and they're screaming children, they make an announcement at the start of the flight and say, well, this is the childless benefit. There are screaming and shouting kids on here, but everyone gets, a bottle of wine or something. Great.
Do you know, I once did a trip around the United States which involved taking about 20 of those short-haul flights. And after 18 of these flights, as I was checking in, I said, I wonder if you could put me next to a child that is not feeling terribly well, is going to vomit and could kick me. And the woman said, I don't know if we can be that specific. I said, well, you've managed it on the other 18.
That's the thing. The reasons are so ridiculous. I was sat next to a screaming baby on a plane and the mum said to me, oh, you'll have to excuse him. He can't handle the pressure. And I was like, how do you think the pilot feels?
This week, HMRC has sent out letters to a million middle-class families outlining the changes to their child benefit. The letters will explain in detail the nature of the cuts, along with a brief summary from George Osborne, which will read, you should have used a condom. 2 points to Justin. Susan, who is getting ready to say goodbye, goodbye to its London home?
The Metropolitan Police
yes.
are, due to the requirement to cut about £500 million from their budget over the next 2 years, are selling Scotland Yard. Oh, I know. If you don't know what Scotland Yard is, it's the one with the turny-wurny sign. the turny-wurny sign as opposed to the static sign.
If you understood physics, you'd know that that sign is completely stationary, but the universe is revolving around it.
Don't say that to me, because if I ever have a drink, I will watch that for hours. A number of things struck me about this story. The first one was, I think it was the deputy commissioner said, that they can't afford the luxury of having a headquarters in the middle of London. Now, I'm not an expert, but they're the Metropolitan Police. Mm. Now, a luxury at work is a nail bar, right? A luxury is not having a physical presence within the heart of the city that you represent. The second thing is, they're closing lots of other police stations as well. It's not just Scotland Yard that they're selling, but they've said it's okay because for every police station they close, they're going to open three access points sited in supermarkets. Because as we all know, criminals tend to operate within the opening hours of Tesco.
But no. If you get robbed, you do not want your first port of call to be a bobby who is also manning the wet fish counter.
Right? No. They used to have those special phone boxes you could go in, but then they all went to the future, didn't they?
No, that's true. Well, the Deputy Commissioner, I quite like this, he said they are going to close all these police stations, but there's going to be 25,000 more policemen on the beat. I thought that's because they've got nowhere to go.
Obviously, this is New Scotland Yard, which, of course, originally was situated somewhere on the back of Whitehall, wasn't it? It was in genuine Scotland yeah. Yard, and they moved it down to Victoria, so we'll call it New Scotland Yard. So if they move it again,
yeah.
what do they call it? The New Scotland Yard or the original Scotland Yard?
One Nation Scotland
Yard. One
yeah.
Nation Scotland Yard.
Quick question for an extra point. What kind of supplements has the Met been taking to balance the books?
Oh, they've had sponsorship from quite sort of extraordinary places.
Yeah.
And I can't, I was trying to, there must be a good example. Some of these places are quite extraordinary that they've received their...
Well, there were three companies that provided cars, BMW, yeah. Land Rover and Nestle. One of those doesn't belong with the other two. Nestle providing cars.
A chocolate car?
Yeah, I suppose it's good on a stakeout. You can take a bite out of the steering wheel. I don't know how it works. The Metropolitan Police are planning to sell New Scotland Yard to help save £500 million over the next 2.5 years. New Scotland Yard is famous for its revolving triangular sign and for being a subsidiary of News International. The force is looking to sell off a third of its estate, but will keep the timeshare apartment on the Costa del Sol. So, at the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Lloyd have got 4 points, but in the lead are Justin and Susan with 5. We start round two with a story from the West Australian.
A woman stole a vibrator from a Northbridge sex shop last night. The thief was described by police as a slim Caucasian woman, aged about 35 to 40, who was last seen heading down the street with a smile on her face.
And our thanks to Peter Schmidt for sending us that. Lloyd, why are there Chinese whispers about children?
There has been a think tank in China that has recommended the state drop its one-child policy. I think a Chinese think tank is the best type of Chinese tank. Because they've only been having, allowing one child per family in the majority of cases. They have something at the moment which is called the 4-2-1 problem, which means one child has two parents and four grandparents to look after. And that shouldn't be confused with the 3-2-1 problem, which is how come there was a successful game show on British television for 10 years where the majority of contestants walked away with a bin.
My newsagent has a one-child policy, but I think that's more to do with shoplifting.
I sort of wish that someone had stopped us having a second child, to be honest with you. It's exhausting. Because you have one child, because they're very close together, and yeah. you have one child. Well, this is, it's like having a nice bottle of wine, isn't it? And you go, oh, this, isn't this nice? Oh, we've been jumped. And then you get to the end of it, you go, oh, should we open another one? Mm. And then almost just after you open it, you go, oh, dear, we shouldn't have opened this one. Oh, I've got a headache now. Oh, I suppose we've opened it now. Well, I can't put it back. It's, you know... It's not the strongest analogy for having children. No.
Can I just say that because you've got the two, I've got three. Don't have three, OK? Just stop at the two. Because two, when you're crossing the road, you've got one on each hand. Three, there's one clinging to the hairs on your legs. It's just very...
How close together are your two?
There's just over a year between them.
So is one just a lazy twin, do you think?
Pretty much, yeah. Just couldn't quite be bothered to come out. Oh, well, I'll hang around in here for a bit. Look at them, they're just drinking wine.
The Chinese government has been urged to end its one-child policy by a government think tank concerned about imbalances in the population. Any change to the policy wouldn't be phased in until 2020, as it'll take that long for China's bunk bed industry to recover. China's economic growth recently slowed to 7%. Kind of a shambles are they running over there? 2 points to Lloyd. Susan, which Olympic banshee banged the drum for Britain?
This is a wonderful story. Cast your minds back to a time where we were all happy and we all got along with each other and London was a friendly and beautiful place, the Olympics. Now, you may think we got the Olympics because of a fantastic bid and years of work. That's not the reason we got the Olympics. Lord Coe has revealed why we got the Olympics. And the unlikely hero, apparently, was Sherry Blair. Did you know that? Now, picture the scene. It's a grand ballroom. There's delegations from all over the world of people wanting the Olympics. Jacques Chirac is in one corner. He's made a flippant comment about British cooking. He said, you can't trust those people because they cook appallingly. Now, at that point, the double doors swing open. I don't know if that happened. That's just what happened in my head. The double doors swing open. Sherry Blair walks in looking like Cruella de Vil. I don't know if that happened. I'm just making this up. Sherry Blair marches in. Tony's behind her. He's pretending he can't see what she's doing because that's what he does. He just goes, la, 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 la. Sherry goes over to Jacques Chirac, like a banshee, Lord, like a banshee. Now, strangely, Jacques Chirac, president of France, who I imagine has had some difficulties in his life, who's dealt with some international problems apparently, was so cowed by Sherry Blair's vicious verbal attack regarding the cuisine of this country that he left. And he didn't speak to anyone important. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why we got the Olympics.
I quite like it, because according to Lord Coe's book, Cherie Blair scared Chirac away, and I thought maybe she was just trying to smile warmly at him.
I mean, we really did show them, though, didn't we, that our cuisine is right up there, because when we did get the Olympics, we awarded the catering contracts to some of the finest... cuisineers of our country.
I was reading about this on the Daily Telegraph website and someone in the comment section underneath posted, I knew that Blair woman had to be good for something. We should send her to the Afghan mountains to help flush the Taliban out.
Apparently she went at Chirac like an exocet is the other. Forget Trident, strap her to a submarine. What a fantastic idea. It's a win-win.
My wife insulted a Frenchman at a dinner party once, but no, we had to leave and I didn't get pudding, so it doesn't always work.
Which Frenchman was it that she insulted?
Oh, I don't know. It was a friend of a friend who worked in marketing. Marketing.
What did she say to him?
Oh, I can't remember. In fairness, it was me. I made some remark about how they poo in the shower and poke it down with their toes, which I saw... Which I still think they might to leave.
I'm just trying to remember, weren't banshees folklore women who foretold death? Is that not an incorrect use of
the... It was incorrect. I'm not suggesting Lord Coe doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm not.
He's quite scary. Can I just say, I, at the very beginning of the Olympic bid, I did an event for them. I'd never met him before and he came up to me and he said, I know where you went to school. Okay. I'm going now, and you can run faster than me, so just give me a head start, all right?
I do think the nicest part of that story was the fact that Tony Blair, this was happening in the corner. It's like if you've got a friend who always kicks off, and everyone's just so used to it that you just keep on chatting. You know, and you're like, oh, there's, you know, someone challenging, oh, there's Susan challenging some tough fight. And you all just carry on. It sounds like this happens a lot because he just went, oh, there's Cherie, just having a word with Jacques. You bother. And just let it all happen.
Well, like Coe said that Tony Blair turned to him and said, the thing about my wife is that when she says something, she really means it. And you think, yes, Tony, it's called honesty. You may not be familiar with it. According to Sebastian Coe, Cherie Blair attacking Jacques Chirac for his scathing comments about British and Finnish cuisine helped London to win its Olympic bid in 2005. According to Lord Coe, she was at him like a banshee and he couldn't get out of the building fast enough. How unlike the French to retreat when they feel threatened. And embarrassed, Chirac then left after speaking to no one of any importance. Oh, I didn't realise Prince Charles had been there. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mr Hardy.
This was sent in by a listener in Carlisle called Jan. Jan? J-E-A-N-N-E.
I don't care.
Jan Taylor. And it's for Fireworks Night Do. The Houghton Community Bonfire, Monday the 5th of November. It says food, games, activities for all ages, live music. Please wear suitable warm clothing and bring a torch. This is a non-smoking event.
Mr Edwards.
This has been sent in by Mr Doug MacArthur of Gwynedd in North Wales, from the North Wales Pioneer, the for sale section. Very heavy concrete and steel garden roller. Indestructible, but requires a new handle.
Mrs Kelman.
This is from sent in by Hilary Hall, and it's from the Saturday Times magazine. It's an article about sex addiction. Philip Hodson, sex therapist, states, if you look at a distribution curve of libido, some people prefer less sex and some are at it all the time. Most of us will come in the middle.
Mr Langford.
This is from Jay Lee, and it's an ad from the Oxford Frigo. Does anyone have a wheelchair, self-propelled or pushed by someone that they no longer need?
Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Lloyd have got 10 points, but this week's outright winners are Justin and Susan with 14. Before we leave you, here is a promotional email from a holiday cottage company sent in by John Shepherd.
The pump house in Cumbria sleeps too. Bring in the new year with a bang.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Lloyd Langford, Justin Edwards and Susan Kalman. In the chair was Sandy Toxford, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chair script was written by Simon Littlefield, Roderick Cooks and Lucy Clark, with additional material by Nick Vincent, Jack Bernhardt and Tom Neenan. The producer was Lindsay Fenner.